ago, Craig and I sat at one of our favorite dessert cafes. We were enjoying a warm chocolate peanut butter brownie topped with in-house, from scratch, made peanut butter ice cream. We shared this beautiful moment with a seasoned ministry couple. This seasoned ministry couple traveled the world, still does, and they are a strong prophetic voice. And we were sitting across from them, and they were eating their dessert, and we were eating ours, and sharing about kingdom things. And whenever they talk, we listen, because we didn't want to miss a thing of what they were about to say. And the lady, the couple, she is kind of the forerunner of their ministry, and she was talking about what God had been saying to them in their lives in that current season. So we were listening. She looked across the table at us, and she said, "Craig, Renee, this is what I felt God recently say to me." He said, "There's a sound in the kingdom that my church is uncomfortable with. It's the sound of my laughter." Now, the sound of God laughing. Now, some of you might be like, "I am so comfortable with that." The others of you are already feeling uncomfortable right now because it's not your context and it's not the way you grew up and it's not your frame of reference for church to laugh. And it could be different. And definitely in our church family, it probably isn't so much of an issue, but there are lots of churches out there because of the denominational structure that have a hard time with it because they were raised to be serious in church. The sound of God laughing. But what about the fact that it's a serious world with serious problems, and God knows about all these problems, so how can God laugh when I'm hurting, when I'm in pain, when I just was diagnosed with something pretty severe? How could he laugh when there's children in parts of the world and even here starving with broken homes? How could he laugh when I just lost my job, when I have to have a surgery and I'm scared? How could he laugh? But he does. He laughs, he cries, he smiles, he loves. He feels. He laughs. So then what makes God laugh? Anyone know? He already knows the punchline to every joke, so there's no surprise factor if that's out. Pastor Craig said a couple weeks ago that knock-knock jokes are out of the question because he already knows who's there. Where were you when that? No one was laughing that Sunday. What makes God laugh? Well, let's go to Psalms 2 from the Message, starting at verse 1. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, peoples? Earth leaders push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, Messiah defiers. Let's get free of God. Let's cast loose from Messiah. Heaven throned God breaks out in laughing. At first, he's amused at their presumption, and then he gets good and angry. See, the people and the king of the earth is what it's talking about in this passage are rising up against the authority of God and against Jesus the Messiah and his reign on the earth and his reign in their lives. Heaven throned God is there and kind of gives this surprising but funny reaction to what they're doing. He laughs. This heaven-throned God. Now, in some translations, it says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs." Now, it's the same thing. Heaven-throned sits. The point is that he's seated. And that's not anything to pass by because this is not just some average person sitting like in their beach chair at the beach. This is Almighty God sitting on his throne. This is the position of God then, and this is the position of God now. God is right now sitting on his heaven chair. He is right now establishing his rule and his reign from that position. He is enthroned. See, when we get our surprise attacks, like today, you might get one. But it doesn't matter because God, in his seated position, our Father, is ruling. He's bringing authority. He's sitting on his heaven chair, establishing a verdict in your favor. Jesus is there as well. It says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, sitting. He has his own heaven chair. And it says that he is advocating on your behalf. He is advocating on behalf of you, but it's you already have favor in the Father's eyes. So it's just like, whoa, there's just a lot good going for you and I right now. So the enemy can come and attack us, our cities, our nation, our government, our children in foreign countries. Because we all know that the plot and the evil demonstrations of the earth are many right now. There are plenty. But this does not affect the enthronement of our God. He's still seated. He's not surprised. He didn't just take a shock fall off the chair because something happened that he didn't expect. He doesn't even need to stand up and be like, what's happening down there? He sits in his heaven chair and laughs. See, there's nothing that ever will or ever will be that will shock God, that will have an overriding power to remove him from his chair. If he wants to get up, he'll get up, but that's it, only if he wants to. This is the position of our laughing God. The earth is in uproar. People are devising a plan. They're in contention against the very one that created them and are sustaining them. They're making plans, and God's just sitting there laughing. He's like, this is funny. Can you picture it? He's just sitting there like, these guys. I feel like at first he started with like a shaking of the head, like, really? And then as it continues, it gets funnier and funnier. Then maybe he smiles or smirks. He looks over at Jesus. And then the laughing starts. It says God starts to laugh because he's like, gosh, this is so ridiculous. And he looks over at Jesus again, and Jesus is already like dead on the floor. He's been laughing so long. Don't worry, he's resurrection life. Where's the laughing now? I was counting on you for that one. This is a ridiculous type of laugh it's talking about in the scripture. See, laugh in the Hebrew is defined to laugh with contempt or derision, to play or make sport, or laugh mockingly. This wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. That's such a funny joke. This was like, this is so ridiculous. I can't help but do anything but laugh right now. That type of laugh. It's like, what else am I going to do? It's like, if any of you have small kids and you've ever been to like Trader Joe's or something like that, and suddenly your toddler just starts freaking out and flails on the ground and is throwing some kind of weird tantrum. It gets to the point where you're like, if I don't laugh right now, I'm going to cry. So I'm just going to laugh because this is ridiculous. It's that type of laugh. It's a type of laugh when someone tells you, oh, man, I have this major work presentation tomorrow, but I haven't planned anything for it because I'm so good on my feet, and I'm really good last minute, so I'm just going to, like, wing it, and I feel like it's going to, my whole job career depends on it, but, like, I'm pretty sure I got it. It's that type of laugh where you're like, why, that's stupid, like, why are you doing that? You know, it's the type of laugh when someone tells you, hey, I don't have a job right now, and I don't even have a hope of getting one, and I have no money, but I really feel like shopping. So I'm just going to use my credit card, and I'm just going to go out, and it's all going to work out in the end. And you're like, you just laugh at them, not because that's funny, but because it's stupid. Right? It's that kind of, I don't know if you, any of you have ever watched SpongeBob in the past or currently, but it's that type of humor. If you ever watch SpongeBob and he starts to do something annoying, like some kind of sound. And then at first you're like, I'm literally going to throw something at the TV right now. Like, I'm getting angry at this annoyance in my life. But it goes on and on and on and on and on so long that you just start laughing. It's that type of laugh. God is laughing at the ridiculousness of the situation. See, God laughs at the plans of the enemy because they're ridiculous. If an army of ants made a plot to kill you. Now, if you have a fear of ants, this might scare you. So just put something else in there in this situation. But if the army of ants are making a plot to kill you, you're not worried about that. I mean, it's a little creepy, a little disturbing, but it's definitely laughable. See, here is God with this army of little tiny humans that he created. It's hysterical to think that any of them could do anything to remove God from his position. See, God doesn't struggle against evil. We all know it's not some big thing that's shown in the movies where there's good and there's evil and there's a battle. We don't know what's going to happen. It's not that type of struggle. The only power and authority that Satan has is in the realm that God has allowed him to operate for a season. Let's go to Psalms 59 to look at another passage of the laughter of our Father. My God says, rescue me from my enemies. And I'm going to jump through. I'm not going to read all this passage because it's long. But so just kind of follow with me. Rescue me from their dirty tricks. Save me from their hitmen. Desperados have ganged up on me. They're hiding in ambush for me. I did nothing to deserve this, God. Cross no one, wrong no one. All the same, they're after me and determined to get me. Down in verse 8. But you, God, break out laughing. You treat the godless nations like jokes. Strong God, I'm watching you do it. I can always count on you. God in dependable love shows up on time and shows me my enemies in room. Down in 16, for you have been a safe place for me, a good place to hide. Strong God, I'm watching you do it. Psalms 37, verse 12 and 13, it says, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs, for he sees his day coming. See, not only does God laugh at the enemy's plans against him, but he laughs at the enemy's plans against you. Now, let's hold up for a minute. Does this offend you or impress you? God laughs at the enemy's plans against you. Because some of us might be offended by that. But some of us might be like, if he's laughing, he's probably got a good reason. So then why? Why is he laughing? Well, let's look at a couple reasons. The first reason why God is laughing at the enemy's plans against you is because God laughs because he has an eternal perspective. God lives outside the realm of our time. We are locked into time. It's really hard for us to comprehend anything outside of our 24-hour clock, our 7 days a week, our months and years. We just truly can really just understand how long something's lasting for, and then we feel like it's over and we restart something else. So because of this, we struggle with an understanding that what's happening in your life and my life right now will end. It is not forever. So eternally speaking, now stay with me, nothing can actually hurt you. The pain, your failure, my failure, the sickness, the heartbreak, the mistakes you've made and I've made, it all ends here with this life. See, we feel like it's never going to end. We feel like it's attached itself to us and we're always going to carry it. That it's always going to be that way. And that's definitely what the enemy would like you to believe. Like you're stuck. We need an epiphany, a revelation. Now, I recently had one. An epiphany, a revelation, a new understanding of who I am as an eternal being. I had this realization, something that I've always known here, but I didn't quite live it out and I didn't quite act like it most of the time. But I had a real realization of my eternal self and the reality that no matter what comes at me, what I face, it has a time-stamped, heaven-declared, Father-pronounced, Jesus-enforced end. Okay. So the absolute worst it can get will end. It will be over. It will be over. So I can live eternally in bliss here on earth and forever. I don't have to wait till I'm in heaven. I can live that here because I am a heavenly being. I'm just temporarily taking up space here as an ambassador to release the kingdom wherever I go. So nothing can actually hurt me, because even the things that the devil sends to hurt me ends here. So the absolute worst it can get, it'll be over soon. Now, I know, this is liberating, guys. This is liberating. It's very freeing. I have nothing to fear. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to get up worried about how something's going to go, how it's not going to go. I don't have to worry about my family. I don't have to worry about anything, because we are eternal and God's got it. The last part of Psalms 37 says, "The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming." See, how it starts is not how it ends. God literally sees the day when it ends. He literally, before it even begins, he saw the end. Before it even starts, he sees the freedom, the healing, the miracle, the provision. This is how he can laugh. Because he sees the end game. He already knows. He knows the day is coming where our enemy will meet his final defeat. He will not win. And it is laughable to think that the enemy would think that he has the upper hand in our lives. Because his day is coming. He'll be thrown in the lake of fire, the Bible says. That's it. He only has a limited time to work with here on this earth. He cannot hurt you. He can throw stuff at you. He can, you know, make you go through some stuff. But eternally speaking, you cannot be hurt, so you can laugh at his futile attempt in your life. Renee, you are making this seem way too easy. It's not that easy. It's sounding all trivial. And listen, I'm not up here speaking as someone who hasn't gone through anything. I mean, you guys know some of our story. When I was 20 years old, how I lost my dad to cancer 6 days after he was diagnosed, bleeding for healing, calling it on God. When our baby girl was born, not expected to live, and the journey that's been, and you know some of the details, but the struggle, the pain, the attacks on our character, the attacks on us, it just even being in the ministry, in the limelight sometimes in different churches, and the things that have been spoken out against us. And I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. The difficulties that I have been through. But eternally speaking, nothing can hurt me. I am an eternal being with a revelation of a God the Father who has me in the palm of his hand. I am the apple of his eye. He goes out and fights on my behalf. He already won. Before it even comes at me, he's already won. And he's already won for you. This isn't belittling your situation or mine. It's truth. It is keeping an eternal perspective in the middle of chaos in your life. It is our peace. It is our freedom. It's our only true reality, guys. I'm saying it's our only true reality. The rest is an illusion. It's just a smokescreen. The second reason God laughs because he is our fighting champion. Come on, we've touched on it a little bit. Psalms 18, I'm going to read just portions of this. Lord, I passionately love you and I am bonded to you, for you have become my power. You're as real to me as bedrock beneath my feet, like a castle on a cliff, my forever firm fortress, my mountain of hiding, my pathway of escape, my tower of rescue. Verse 3, all I need to do is call to you, singing to you. When I do, I am safe and sound in you. For when the ropes of death wrapped around me, you're going through some stuff and you feel like this, and terrifying torrents of destruction overwhelm me, taking me to death's door, I cried out to you, the delivering God. And from your temple throne, come on, he's seated on his heaven chair, you heard my troubled cry. My sobs came right to your heart and you turned your face to rescue me. It says the earth itself shook. Some of you are feeling shook right now. The earth itself shook. It rocked before him as the mountains trembled and they literally melted away. For his anger was kindled, burning on my behalf. Flames leapt from his mouth, blazing coals of smoke. He stretched heaven's curtain open and came to my defense. Oh, there's more, but go down to verse 12. Suddenly the brilliance of his presence broke through with lightning bolts. A mighty storm from heaven. The Lord thundered. The great God above every god spoke with his thunder voice. He released his lightning arrows and routed my foes. See how they ran and scattered in fear. 16, he reached down from heaven. It says from sky to sea. He reached down in my darkest to rescue me. He took me out of my calamity and chaos and drew me to myself from the depths of despair. See, when I was at my weakest, my enemies attacked, but the Lord held on to me. Come on! His love broke open a way. See, there's always a way. There's always a way, and it's through his love. And nothing can shake God off his heaven chair. No destruction against you. No obstacle that you didn't see coming. No concern in your life so deep that he has to wonder what he's going to do in that moment, because he's already made advanced provision in your life. The Lord laughs at the plans of the enemy against you, because he sees his day coming and he is your fighting champion. Now, if you could do all that, wouldn't you laugh too? Well, you can. As he is, we are. In him we live, we move, and have our being. We reside in the heart of Jesus and him in us. As he was in the earth, we are. See, God is God, and the enemy can do nothing to him. He is our protector, our defender, our champion. We don't go into battle by ourselves. Our champion is fighting with us. No weapon formed against us will prosper, because God is for me. So devising plans against me is devising plans against God. And we know how ridiculous that is. No good mom or dad stands by when their child is being berated, harassed, attacked. I mean, honestly, guys, real moment. There were times when my kids were little and they were on the playground and some other little tiny kid called them a name. I wanted to choke that kid out. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, there are rules against that. So there's that. Couldn't do it. But maybe if there wasn't, I don't know, it might have been different. I mean, when people, whether they're little people or big people, are attacking your kids, you are right there. Oh, you didn't realize you were fighting me too? Like, that's how I felt. Like, oh, you thought you were just fighting my two-year-old. No, you're fighting me too. I know you're just two and a half, but it doesn't matter. We're fighting. That's moms and dads. That's the father. Oh, you didn't realize, Satan, that you were fighting me too? That's how it is. God fights for you. He doesn't stand by. Oh, I wonder if they have it under control. Like your kid's in the fight on the playground. You're like, I wonder how this is going to work out. Like, no, you're like right in there. He's right in there, and he laughs against the plots of the enemy because he knows his day's coming. See, you guys, we're going to be okay. You and I, we're going to be okay. And this laughter sound in the kingdom of God is powerful. And it is breakthrough anointing to come on behalf of your situation. The laughter and the sound of the kingdom is something to long for and to encounter. It will release something in you and for you. Enjoy the presence of your Father in laughter, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of your chaos, in the night seasons, in the day, in the valleys and the mountains, and all the seasons in between. Because if he's not worried, I'm not worried. And if he's laughing, I'm laughing. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to the body. But the one whose heart is crushed suffers or struggles with sickness and depression. See, there's something powerful about finding scriptures that will release something in your life and speaking them over you. So when you're going through something, it's okay to pull out those scriptures about God laughing against these things and begin to put yourself in that situation and begin to encounter God in that way. Picture the Father laughing and then laugh with him. There's breakthrough there. We talked about breakthrough already today. There's breakthrough in shouting. There's breakthrough as you hear God's voice and you release it. There's breakthrough in laughing in the kingdom. This isn't just like a fun in your spare time. I mean, this is powerful and effective. Bringing heaven's laughter into your mess. We need to laugh more. When you're feeling under attack, laugh. When you're feeling sad, laugh. You're like, well, I'm sad. How do I laugh? I don't know. Just do it like that. Anyone can make the sound. Before you know, you'll be like, I sound so ridiculous. You'll be laughing at yourself. It'll happen. When you're under pressure, laugh. Some people do that anyway when they're under pressure. When it's dark, laugh. When it hurts, laugh. And then laugh till it hurts some more. Laugh. Joy is released with laughter. And where there's joy, there's freedom, there's strength, there's healing, there's wholeness in your life. There was a time when, and I don't know if Craig shared this before, but we were at a church and the way they kind of did kind of like a blessing is they brought you through prophetic ministry. And they would, if you wanted to open yourself up to this, they had special prophetic guests that would come in. And then if you wanted that, you sat in a certain section, and then they would call you up as they feel the Spirit led. So Craig and I sat there through, like, I don't know, 2 hours? 3 days, sorry. Wow, got that wrong. It was maybe 2 hours in the service, 3-day conference, and we were the very two last to be picked. Like, if you've ever been picked last, it's kind of, like, awkward, you know? But we just sat there, we're like, do they even see us? Like, they're prophetic people. They should know everything. Like, we're right here. Anyway, so we got called up at the very end, and we knelt at these chairs, and these prophets were going to lay hands on us and just prophesy over our lives. And this would be like a launching pad for us. And we were very excited about this. Well, this church was extremely prophetic, but very seasoned in their approach, and very well put together. They all wore suits and ties, and, you know, everything was decent and in order and things like that. Anyway, well, we get up there, and all the order went out the window, guys. Suddenly, Craig starts laughing, and I'm like, I look over, like, we're supposed to be, like, in this kneeling position, the chair, just kind of like humbly waiting for our moment. And he starts laughing, but he doesn't just start laughing. He starts pounding his fists on the chair laughing. Like he cannot control himself in this moment. He's just laughing. So then I look over and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. There's like hundreds of people watching, okay? We are on the stage with these like really big deals about to prophesy over us. And he is dying laughing. tears coming down. And then I look over, I'm like, oh, he's making such a spectacle of himself. And then I'm like, I start laughing. And then I can't hold it anymore. So I start making a spectacle of myself, and we are an absolute disaster. Disaster. Craig ends up under the chair, don't know. I end up laying down, and we are crying, and they don't know what to do. So they come up, and they're just like, and the pastors were kind of like, oh my gosh, what's that? Because it's like their church, and like, what's happening here? But the prophetic ministers came in, and they're like, this is okay. And they took a moment, and they spoke to the congregation and put everyone at rest, because everyone was uncomfortable with us laughing. With us laughing in the presence of God. It was so powerful, guys. It went on to be just an awesome encounter and really a breakthrough moment for that church. The sound of laughter in the kingdom. When you're laughing just to laugh, it's okay. To enjoy the presence of the Father, it's okay. When you're laughing because you're under attack, go for it. You're like, maybe I'm going through hell right now. Just keep going. Don't stop. Laugh. There's no stopping. There's just laughing. See, our cities need to see more laughing lovers of Jesus. People need to know that God's not boring. If they think he's boring, you're boring. He's not boring. Laugh more. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is joy. It's laughing. It's happiness. Stop suffering for Jesus. Start laughing for Jesus. If you've ever laughed uncontrollably during a supernatural encounter, has anyone else experienced that? There's many of you. If you haven't, ask for it. There is nothing wrong. Actually, there's everything right about asking for that encounter. There's times, not that long ago, just a few years ago before we moved back here, where, Craig and I were lead pastors of this church in this Bible Belt of Canada, and I am crawling across the floor laughing, like crawling, like army crawl, like because I can't get up. I can't stand, and I'm not laughing, and people are just looking at me laughing, and because the presence of God was just so overwhelming and so powerful that it's like the Bible talks about being drunk in the Spirit. And some of you just need to go get drunk. Please give context to that quote. 1 Peter, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, you love him, although you have not seen him. You believe him, although you have not seen him. So rejoice with great and glorious joy, which words cannot express. If words can't express, and it's a lot of joy, there's probably a high possibility you're laughing. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord is in your midst. He will display joy over you. He will be speechless in his love. His joy will be proclamations of joy. Come on. The Father is so pleased with you that he laughs over you. He doesn't laugh at you like he laughs at the enemy's plans against you, but he laughs over you in order to release a joy on your life so you can laugh too. It's literally the best. It's literally the best to laugh with your best friend. His love is so immense for you. He's left speechless. When there's no words left, you're either going to scream or laugh or both. It's funny. The funny thing about this is that on Thursday night at Women of Destiny here, we were playing Would You Rather. And Candy says to me, Renee, would you rather be able to only joke, to never stop joking or never stop being serious? What would you rather? Well, I'm like, well, I'd rather never stop joking. And then Brooke came a few minutes later, and she asked Brooke the same question, and right away I thought about it for a minute, because I'm like, gosh, no one ever like take me serious. And I went through a time in high school where everyone just thought everything I said was a joke. And, you know, so I was thinking about that. But then Brooke, right away, she's like, oh, never stop joking. She said, because then at least I'd be laughing all the time. I'm like, yes, she's got it. Laughter is powerful. It brings joy in your life. It brings breakthrough in your situation. And it's a kingdom sound. This is a kingdom sound. We need to stop shushing the laughter in the church, the laughter of our children in the church. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let the children play. Let the children play. We're the children. We need to play in our Father's presence. I give you permission to laugh here, to laugh at your pain, to laugh at your joy, to laugh because you're having a good time, because things are awesome, and to laugh when things are horrible and you're believing for breakthrough. Would it be awesome if one of the ways Crosspoint was known was for our laughing? People are like, oh, you're having a bad day. You should go to Crosspoint on Sunday. Like, seriously, all they do is laugh over there. Like, you'll leave feeling better. Come on, that people just come in and they just start laughing because the joy of the Father is just so prevalent in our services. And it spills out into La Mesa and to San Diego and to our cities. And then we take it to the nations because we're going to other places. And we just laugh there too. And everyone's laughing and there's so much breakthrough and so much freedom. I feel like today, for some of you here, you've been looking for an answer and you've been trying a lot of different things. And I feel like laughter is it. I do. Crazy things happen when you laugh in a situation, and we can laugh. There's a quick story some of you might have heard before. I'm going to do it very in short with a few details, but if you know of Kevin Deadman from Bethel Reading, and he just releases signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere he goes. And I was in a meeting with him one time, and he was sharing a story, and he had a word of knowledge that someone was diagnosed with cancer. And he was doing this thing where he really felt like God was moving on the laughter. And every time someone would laugh over a situation, they would see the healing come instantly. Like, it was crazy. This was happening time after time in the service and different things. Anyway, he released a word of knowledge for a diagnosis of cancer. And someone said, my family member, they're not here, though. And he's like, we'll call them up on the phone, because they were seeing miracles on the phone. So they call him up on the phone, and he it was kind of awkward because what he planned on doing was laughing, you know, and this is very serious, obviously. It's like, she's, you know, this lady was dying of cancer, and he was going to laugh. Well, what made it worse was that the type of cancer that she had was like a female type of cancer, and he didn't know that, and this is going to get awkward real fast here, guys, if it hasn't already for you. I mean, just think about how I feel. And he said, what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to put the phone where your cancer is, and I'm going to laugh. Well, this took place, and he found out that what was happening and all of that, but incredibly awkward. Well, now he has no choice. He has to laugh. I mean, it's kind of laughable now. Anyway, he did the thing, and he broke through in the Spirit of God and in the laughing sound of the kingdom, and I'm telling you what, she was healed. She was healed. Sometimes we have to get a little uncomfortable to see the breakthrough in our lives, but God is faithful in our obedience. Come on.